What's up, everybody? Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Friday, April 19th, and we are back to chat some WWE SmackDown. But as always, I am not alone. In fact, I am joined once again by my brand new co-host, Robin Lundberg. Robin, how are you?
I am doing well. Another SmackDown in the books. Lots to get to. I'm doing better than Kevin Owens. Let me put it that way.
I know, right? I was going to say you got your car in tow. You're not busted open with half your face just completely bloody. It was definitely a night that I feel like today's episode of SmackDown felt a little bit different to me than some of the past episodes. Like, I really feel prior to WrestleMania, we sort of got into this rhythm where we were getting the exact same show. And I felt like there was little things that they did on SmackDown today that just felt like a different kind of a show. How'd you feel about it overall?
Well, character development, right? I mean, the big boys were out before WrestleMania. Let's be real about it, right? We had The Rock on the show. Obviously, you got Roman as a part of it. But now, I feel like Solo Sikoa's character has been developed more in the last 2 weeks than maybe in the last 2 years. On top of that, you know, you got Tiffany Stratton getting a moment on this show. You've got the QR code, which I think people will be buzzing about. So it's the things that, you know, the real fans are going to appreciate along the journey that they're working on right now.
Yeah, and before we get to SmackDown, by the way, I hate to always get into this type of news, but it's news that we have to discuss, and that is we had some releases, and while as of right now there's only been a few names, I will try to keep an eye out if there's been any additional names, but as of right now, we have learned that, well, this was put out there by Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Pro Wrestling, that Jinder Mahal, Xia Li, and Zion Quinn are no longer with WWE. So just to kind of give you guys a little bit of a breakdown of what's going on or what went down, and that is that Xia Li basically put it out on social media. She put it out that she's no longer with the company. She put, you know, a whole post thanking the promotion and everything for having been with the company for several years, being the first Chinese female wrestler with the company. So she went out and put that statement out on social media. And Jinder Mahal also did too. He basically put out there that he quit. And then afterwards, it was put out there by Sean that he had been released. So Jinder Mahal, who had been with the company since 2010, is no longer with WWE. And the other person is Zion Quinn. Now, some of you guys may not know Zion as much, but he was over on the NXT side of things, and he had like very, very, and I mean very few matches. And then he had like a squash match over on SmackDown where he lost to Bron Breakker. So unfortunately, all of these names, these three names, are people that are probably expected, Robin, because again, they really weren't featured on the show and hadn't really done much. But of course, it always sucks to see people lose their job regardless. What did you think seeing these three names be put out there that they're no longer with the company?
Well, I mean, I echo your sentiment. You never want to see anybody lose their job. Obviously, you know, it's a tough business. But the one thought I have is Tony Khan has the chance to do something hilarious with Jinder Mahal.
Book him versus Hook.
Yeah, right. I mean, don't hinder the Jinder in that regard. Because, I mean, that was, if we're being real about it, that was the most Jinder Mahal has been talked about in years since he had his run at the top of the WWE. And many people would say that was maybe not the, you know, the marquee time in the company's history. But I would say AEW in 90 days or whatever it is does have a chance to, they like to blend, and you know, we all know pro wrestling's at its best when you sort of blend the reality with the storyline, and they would have a chance to do something like that, considering the exchange that Tony Khan and Jinder Mahal had online.
Let me tell you, if that were to happen, Robin, like that is something that not even in my craziest fantasies would I have came up with on my wrestling bingo card of the year. And I do wrestling bingo cards at the start of every single year. And I don't think that I was expecting, first of all, you know, to see the whole, when this went down on social media with freaking Jinder Mahal and Hook and Tony Khan and how that whole story went down. And then to be in a situation where all of a sudden, hey, you're right. Tony Khan does have the opportunity to do something really funny. Now, whether he'll do it, I don't think so. But then again, you just never know in this crazy world of professional freaking wrestling. It is crazy out there. But there you go, guys. Those are unfortunately some new releases. And I do not know if we're going to be seeing any more names. Of course, we are headed into the draft, which we will be talking about next week. But I want to get into some of these super chats and see what you guys are saying, and then we'll jump right into SmackDown. First and foremost, shout out to Chris C, who just became a brand new member of the DWO. We got Sheldon Jackson here, who gifted 5 DWO memberships. Hell yeah, man. And we got Steven here saying, I have this image of Denise doing the Undertaker run to her laptop to avoid being late to the live stream because of Taylor dropping her new album. Tiffany versus Bailey at Backlash, possibly question mark. First and foremost, I want to say that I will never forget the Undertaker video, Robin. The one where he's like walking, running.
Well, I mean, yeah, Undertaker, he's put in some work. If you remember that documentary, it was all about like how he's physically broken and is continuing to chase that WrestleMania moment. But it is funny to see it that way because of how well orchestrated it was in reality, or on the show, where it felt like, you know, he's dong and then he's gone versus
dong never. I swear to God, I'm not a fifth grader, but dong always makes me laugh regardless. Or it was like, because I always forget, like, is it a dung or is it a dong? It's a dong, right?
Well, I mean, it was a quick dong at WrestleMania, but it was a long dong if you're watching the running
thing. Yeah, okay. I always forget, like, is it dong? Is it dung? What are we going here with for the Undertaker's
dung? Dung is like dinosaur poop. So I think dong, it is a dong.
Wait, dung? Dung is dinosaur poop?
Or dung is dung is another word for poop. Yes, like that is fecal matter, dung.
Okay, you learn something new every day. I did not know that.
Yes, you can look it up. I promise you that is true. So if you see like the artifact of it, they would refer to it as dung.
So the options are, never mind. I'm not even going to get into the options. I'm done. You guys can put two and two together. We got Matt Logan here who says, how many times have you listened to Taylor's new album? It has been on a replay. 31 songs. I just press play and I keep it going over and over and over again since last night. And then when I woke up again this morning, it's just been going the whole entire day and it's made my life so much better. So, oh boy, guys, what a night it was. We got Kevin Zwicker here who says, what's up, guys? The new titles are beautiful. I think that they are definitely better looking than the ones we got on Raw, right, Robin?
Oh, yeah, they're much better looking. The shape of the ones on Raw are a little off, like the round. This is a classic feel. And I don't know. I like Grayson Waller a lot. So I like seeing him rock it. It feels right. It feels brash. It feels in the moment for them. But yes, I think those are some sweet looking titles. And that's my guy, Kevin. I love that guy.
So I had a friend, by the way, who messaged me last week when the whole Raw tag titles came out. They were like, oh my God, Denise, did you notice that they look like empanadas? And I was like, why did you tell me that? Now, every time I see those belts, that's what I see. Like, why did you tell me this? And so it's kind of messed up the World Tag Team titles for me. But we got Toby Schwashbauer here who says, I guess SmackDown was cool, but I need Denise's feelings on the new album. I love how everybody's talking about it because everyone knows, man. Robin, are you a Taylor Swift fan at all?
You know what? I will tell you this. I gained a lot of respect for Taylor Swift with Folklore. I really liked that record a lot. I found out who Taylor Swift was because of Kanye. And now I know who Taylor Swift is for many other reasons. Yeah. And the young people, the young girls are obsessed. I went to a birthday party where there was a Taylor Swift impersonator. My daughter, Ronnie, asked to play Taylor Swift in the car all the time. So I have gotten up to speed on Taylor Swift. I'll just say, you are to Taylor Swift as I am to Jay-Z. So if it was a Jay-Z record, my fans would be asking me that way. I will defer to you. The floor is yours when it comes to, you know, digesting and dissecting the album. But that's my my overall Taylor Swift
experience. You know what I noticed too, by the way, because you mentioned that you started liking Taylor with Folklore. I noticed that a lot of guys really started liking Taylor when Folklore came out. And that was something that I noticed. And so, like, it's just, it's interesting. I think Folklore is really the album that kind of brought in, like, more guys to like her stuff. But as for the album itself, guys, like, it's 31 songs. So there's a lot. And there are so many times where, like, I've been listening to the album and I have to keep going back and being like, okay, which song is this again? Which song is this again? But the lyrics are just so freaking beautiful. There were some things that she did that, like, literally shocked me. Like, certain lines, I was just in shock, Robin. And then there was other moments where I just kept thinking, like, she freaking did it again. Like, every time I think she can't top herself, she, like, always does. And so it was just a beautiful listen, and I recommend it to everybody to check it out. We got Mike Parker here, who sends in a very generous super chat saying, glad Tiffany got her moment at the end. She's too good to basically have been thrown aside last week to focus on damage control related storylines. So you know what? Let's get into this first and foremost, because this one's already interesting just based off of what we got. So we saw Bayley defend her WWE Women's Championship for the very first time. And this was in a competitive match against Naomi. Now, these two girls, they went at it during this match. I almost felt bad because while their match was going on, that's when the news of the releases started happening on social media. So I kind of felt my attention shift a little bit, but I kept telling myself, like, pay attention to the match because, like, they're freaking killing it. And they were. And on top of that, you had this other added element that before the match came out, we had Damage Control as well as Jade and Bianca watching over, you know, in the skybox, and they were both watching, you know, watching this match, right? But here's the thing, the one person that I did not expect to actually come out during this and interfere and end up costing the match for Naomi was Tiffany freaking Stratton. So Tiffany Stratton goes out there, punches Bayley, takes out Naomi. And so this match basically ends with no DQ. Like, that's it. Like, no contest. Like, nobody wins this match. And of course, Bayley retains. But here's the thing that I want to get at right now, Robin. Tiffany Stratton, the closing shot. Did you notice that it was Tiffany and the championship belt? That was the closing shot of the show. And so I think she's going to be champion sooner than all of us probably anticipated.
Yeah, I told you last week, I think she's going to take down that Money in the Bank briefcase. I almost have no doubt that she's going to be waving it in people's faces. Like, it's Tiffy time. When am I going to cash in? You know, like, that whole aspect. And she wasn't forgotten about. I mean, respect to the chat, but that is tied into last week. You know, they had that triangle last week, and it was sort of, it threw you off by seeing Damage Control and Jade and Bianca, because you thought they might be the ones who got involved. So it was a nice little bait and switch, because then Tiffany comes back and pays off last week and you know, introduces herself to that scene. I thought Naomi and Bayley got a lot of time. That was a really good match. I like the respect they showed to each other to keep in line with, you know, Bayley offering her that first chance last week before Tiffany came out. And then you add all the other women, so you show just how deep that division is. And I must say, how do I put this? Jade Cargill is so physically impressive that it's distracting.
Oh my gosh. I actually thought you were going to say this about Bianca, because I got some text messages from some other friends that were like, did you see Bianca's outfit? And I was like, I think, like, I saw it, but I didn't see it with the same pair of eyes that you might have seen Bianca's outfit.
Well, the two of them together, I mean, I love that team up. And, you know, you saw it immediately at the Royal Rumble when they first met and you knew they were going to have some interaction. But I'm really looking forward to that eventual breakup too, because you know how it works. And that will be, you know, akin in a sense to a bit of a mega powers exploding situation when Bianca and Jade eventually go head to head.
Yeah, and I think they're probably, like, I feel like it's, they should let it cook, right? Like, let them cook. Like, let them be a team. Let us get, like, obsessed with them, like, the way that we have been so far. But I do think that the moment that this breakup eventually happens, I think they're going to do it once they trust Jade Cargill to have longer matches and that she can be well off on her own, versus I think right now they're still trying to get her, like, used to being on WWE TV, teaming in these different, doing these different matchups. And so I think once they feel like she's gotten a little bit more comfortable, when she's gained a little bit more of some in-ring skills, I do think that they're going to then go and have her, you know, break off from Bianca Belair, but that's going to be pretty fun. But I hope they make it last for a while. I really do.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can do it too early. It doesn't serve its purpose. I think it's twofold. One, dominant wrestlers have squash matches. That's the way it works. That's how you introduce a dominant force. And you have to remember, there is a huge portion of the audience who is meeting Jade Cargill for the first time and isn't really familiar with her work from AEW, where, of course, they did a lot of that over there as well. And then the tag match aspect allows her to work out the kinks, get in the flow without going out there and saying, hey, let's have a 30-minute masterclass against whomever the case may be. And then eventually you allow that to tell the story and the seeds are planted for those future feuds, because once Jade is fully integrated into the roster and once Jade is fully up to speed, I mean, not only Jade and Bianca, but what about Jade and Rhea? What about Jade and Charlotte Flair? All those feel like money to me.
Hell yeah, man. And I'm thinking right now, like when you mentioned Tiffany Stratton, by the way, winning the Money in the Bank briefcase, like I'm seeing it already. I do think she's going to be champion by like SummerSlam. I don't know if that's too soon, but I have a feeling it might be by SummerSlam that she might be champion. I think that they recognize they really got something with her, and I think they're going to freaking go with it before the moon passes them by on this opportunity. But again, it's so crazy though, because like she just got there, and I literally remember saying this, like when she first got called up to the main roster, Robin, my first thought was she is literally going to have the type of rise in WWE that Bianca Belair had, because you know when Bianca came in, she was like gaining all of these accolades, doing all of these things. And we haven't seen anybody do stuff like that fast since Bianca.
Well, you know, right away when there's those moments, and her moment was at Elimination Chamber. Yes. You know, that moment, that morning, I don't remember what time it was. My son made sure we woke up for that live, you know, daddy, we're getting up. It was a Saturday morning, I believe, at 5 a.m. Eastern time. So for you, I don't even know.
Actually, it was 2. I'm remembering now. I was thinking about it. I was like, what time was it? It was 2 a.m. I remember, Robin, because I had to do from 2 a.m. to like 5 something was watching Elimination Chamber. And then I got off of that and right away jumped on to do Busted Open. And so it was like a straight through the whole night type of thing. Oh, God, I'm not looking forward to doing that ever again, by the way.
Those international pay-per-views can take their toll. But it was the breakout moment for Tiffany Stratton, and you knew right then that she was a star, not just from her performance, but the crowd response as well. And yes, I think you're right. Like the entire women's division is thrown into chaos a little bit. Obviously, you have Rhea having to surrender the title over on Raw, which clearly wasn't expected, but that leaves a wild card. And as nice as it was to see Bayley get to where she's gotten to and complete her story at WrestleMania, she doesn't feel like a champ, you know, for 6, 8, 10 months. She feels like a more of a transitional champ where she was coronated and it paid off the journey that she's had throughout her career. But yeah, I don't expect her to hold on to that belt beyond, say, a SummerSlam.
And if she knows that, she's going to make sure to make sure that every opportunity that she has, that she's going to go out there and have a banger, because you could tell with that Naomi match. I think you made some good points there. All right, we got Jana here who says, SmackDown is the A show to me personally. Friday night and I don't work weekends. Great storytelling, better women's roster, better ratings. Tonight was great. You know what it is about SmackDown? Because I enjoy Raw a whole lot. But it really just comes down to one big thing, Robin. And it is that you go exactly from 3 hours to 2 hours. You know what I mean. 2 hours, it freaking flows by. You can sit down, have dinner, watch SmackDown, let your food go down a little bit, and the show is over, you know?
I mean, it's almost impossible to pull off a consistently great three-hour show. Maybe when they get to Netflix and everything without the commercials, I don't know how they'll change that around. But yes, I agree, not just because I'm doing this, but SmackDown to me is consistently the more entertaining show. And I would agree almost completely with your assessment that that is the biggest difference. The 2 hours, it's the right amount of time. You know, I've done a lot of radio in my day, Denise. And some oftentimes you'll get like a 4-hour show solo on the weekends or whatever, or even during the day. And I always you always have the same complaint about doing a 4-hour show, because you exhaust everything you have to say by the end of the 3 hours, even, you know, maybe 2.5 hours, and you're pulling it through to 3 hours. And then there's another hour on the back end, and you're like, oh, now I got to restate everything I did before, which the audience turns over. Nobody actually knows, but you know. And that to me is the, you know, like a 3-hour radio show is the perfect radio show. And 4 hours is too long. And in the sense of professional wrestling and televised episodic television like this, I think 2 hours is perfect, and 3 hours is just a little bit too long. There's just too much to fill, because you always feel like with Raw, all right, the beginning is hot, or the top of the next hour, but then I'm waiting until 11 o'clock for the next thing, and there's all this other stuff in between. It feels like SmackDown, from the time it starts until the time it ends, whether it's a great show or a good show, is always moving.
Yes, that's the key word. It's always freaking moving. And it's like, that's not how Raw feels all the time. Like, sometimes you got time to look up at the clock and be like, oh man, I'm only halfway through the show. So yeah, I feel you on that. We got Dream Ninja 77 who says, Tiffany Stratton's moonsault is just simply perfection. And she doubled it today, man. Hit it on both of them. We got Steven Marchuli who says Cody versus AJ, a great start to Cody's reign. And we'll circle back to that in a second. We got the super chat here from Steven who says, I want Tiffany to win Money in the Bank and cash in on the same night, sort of like Liv Morgan did. I'm here for it, Robin. I don't got it. I'm not opposed to this idea.
I can tell you like Tiffany Stratton a whole lot.
Love her. You want to know why, Robin? Because she, to me, is representing all of the girly girls of this world. Like, people always like to shit on the girly girls. They like to shit on the Paris Hiltons, like those type of people, right? Like, Paris Hilton will always find herself as the butt of the joke, right? Sure. Without people realizing that this branding of like think pink and cute and yeah, I act dumb is actually like them self-marketing themselves and building these empires. Anyways, I'm a big Paris Hilton fan.
I haven't thought about Paris Hilton in a long time.
Okay, so Tiffany Stratton, her character is based off a lot of Paris Hilton. And like, obviously, you know, all of these people that you see in movies and TV shows, and it's such an easy character to do, right? To be that person. But anyway, so that's where I'm getting at. That's why I love Tiffany Stratton, because she's got it all.
And she's super talented. I mean, the moonsault that was referenced, I mean, she can really go, and she plays that obnoxious character very, very well. It's almost, you know, like Chelsea Green does it well as well. It's not quite the same character, obviously, but you know, there's some of the beats that are similar. But with Tiffany Stratton, you also go, oh yeah, the rocket ship is attached to her. And I would be shocked, again, I'd be shocked if she doesn't come away with that briefcase.
Yes, because yeah, Chelsea Green is more of the Karen. And so yeah, a little bit, and versus Tiffany is more just like super bougie and conceited, you know. That's, I mean, so is a Karen, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, but a Karen can be trashier. I don't know what the
a Karen. Yeah, I get you. Karen won't be coming out looking like Paris.
You might run into a Karen in Acme. You're not running into a Paris in Acme.
I love it. Oh my god. Okay, so yeah, Tiffany Stratton, rooting for her, excited. All right, so I want to rewind then to what Steven Marchuli just brought up, and this is what kicked us off on the show. And that, my friends, this one's pretty predictable, I think. Like, we all pretty much expected this outcome, and it was LA Knight versus AJ Styles, with the winner going on to face Cody Rhodes at Backlash. And this was a match that for a lot of it was LA Knight sort of dominating AJ Styles. Of course, AJ Styles got in there quite a bit, but at the end of the day, we see AJ hit the phenomenal forearm, he gets the victory, and he's moving on to face Cody Rhodes. And this is the right call. This is exactly what I think people were predicting, Robin.
Yeah, I mean, it's filler in a sense, because it's inevitable Cody Rhodes is going to win that match. But it's also almost inevitable it's going to be a great match. So, I mean, that I think is what you're landing on there. And they did a nice job, I think, protecting LA Knight and AJ Styles in this feud, because LA Knight got the moment at WrestleMania to really pay off all the hype that's been around him. And then AJ Styles got his licks back to come and get this match against Cody Rhodes. And, you know, so there was a commenter, I wish I could remember the name, but after the show we did last week, pointed out some of the past connections between Cody and AJ that I neglected last week. And so you'll probably see some of that worked into the story a little bit. But AJ Styles is that wrestling fan's wrestler, right? Everybody loves his matches, and Cody can go. So, I mean, you're almost a floor of a four-star match between those two, though we all know Cody Rhodes is leaving Backlash with the strap.
Amen to that. And just to kind of add a little bit to this, like you just brought it up, Robin, we talked, you broke it down very nicely last week, a lot of the similarities between AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes, right? As well as their differences too. But just to like a little fun nugget that's sort of been, resurfaced over on social media and whatnot. And that is that it's so crazy that AJ Styles can say that he got to wrestle Dusty Rhodes, and he was 25 at the time when he wrestled Dusty Rhodes, and Dusty Rhodes was 58. And now fast forward, several years later, and he's going to be wrestling his son, Cody Rhodes. Like that's freaking interesting as hell. And I believe Dustin, when he challenged AJ Styles for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, I think that was the last time he ever challenged for the NWA title. So that's just like a cool little fun fact that like, I can't wait to post like the side-by-side of AJ and Dusty. And then afterwards, Cody and AJ, like that's pretty cool.
I'm glad you cited his age at the time, because I hear that and I just think AJ Styles is old. But
let me see how old is. So he was 25 at the time when he wrestled Dusty Rhodes at 58.
I'm guessing he's between 45 and 50.
46. Okay. So do the math. 46 minus 25.
Right?
21. Yes, yeah. I had to use a calculator, Robin. I'm not good at math. 21 years ago, like shit, that just flew by.
Well, Undertaker was 21-0 at WrestleMania at one point, right? I remember Undertaker's debut. I remember it at Survivor Series on the Million Dollar Team, and guess whose team they were going up against in that match? Dusty Rhodes' team. And that was the moment that put Undertaker over, the fact that he threw Dusty Rhodes out of that match. So, Undertaker's been going a little bit longer than just 21 WrestleManias, but that sets the context a little bit for how long 21 years can be, because that was the Undertaker streak, right?
And like, I don't see AJ Styles as old, by the way. He's not old, right? But just when you think about how long, this really puts it in perspective how long he's been doing this. And this also puts in perspective how much changes during that time. Of course, 21 years, like that's like going from a baby to being able to drink alcohol. Like, think about that.
He's not old for a person. But, that is starting to get up there in age for especially a guy like him who goes the way he goes. You know, The Rock, what is The Rock, 50? And we're thinking, he has to train for this match, and he wrestles a very specific style. So you're not expecting the same things out of him that you're expecting out of AJ Styles. So to be able to do what AJ Styles has done, as long as he's done it, in the manner he's done it, for the number of promotions he's done it against, who he's done it against, is quite impressive for him to still be doing it this time against Cody Rhodes.
The hashtag for today, hashtag AJ Styles has done it. Been there, done that. That's AJ Styles right there. But no, it is really cool when you think about that. It really gets you thinking about time and perspective and all of that. But we got so much more to get into here with SmackDown. I want to get into the Solo Sikoa bloodline situation, because last week, this was our big topic, Robin. We were talking about Tama Tonga, him coming in, and sort of how they're following up without having Roman Reigns, who's going to be gone for a bit, and seeing how they continue the saga that is the bloodline storyline. And so far, like we're in, right? Like we're in, like we're feeling good about this. And you know who else is looking like they're feeling good about this? Solo Sikoa, because he came out in a freaking suit in the fancy car. He's talking a lot more. He's got his MFT with him, Tama Tonga. He's calling the shots. He's really freaking feeling himself. And the big thing that we got today was that Tama Tonga beat the living effing life out of Kevin Owens. And just when you thought Kevin Owens was a bloodied pulp, he decided to fight back because that's what Kevin Owens does. And we ended up getting like this really cool fight. And this all led to Nick Aldis essentially threatening Paul Heyman to get these men in order or else there's going to be repercussions. But Paul Heyman right now does not seem to have any power. What'd you make of all of this?
Well, shout out to Nick Aldis, you know, as like sort of a character actor in this entire arc. And for a while, he's done a very nice job in that role. Paul Heyman is masterful. I mean, you could just see the emotions on his face as he's losing control of this situation and almost aghast at it. And again, hinting at the future face version of the Bloodline and Roman Reigns that we could see, because he does not like the dastardly acts that have been perpetrated by Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa. Solo's got that swag. He's got that swag, and they've done more for him in 2 weeks than they did in 2 years. I mean, we didn't even know the man could speak, and now he's out there with the microphone getting Dominic Mysterio heat. He got Dominic Mysterio heat. They're booing him. And by the way, did you notice we want Roman? We got one more Roman chance out of the crowd too. So this is working. It really is working. And you would wonder what's going to happen when they don't have Roman. What's going to happen when they don't have Rock for a while? Obviously, you need those guys to come back, especially Roman. But it's working in the meantime because Solo was ready for this moment, ready for this opportunity. And the way that they're telling it, the way that they're presenting him has been almost perfection. So far,
you had mentioned it last week, and I'm already sold on your idea of how they're doing the Bloodline Civil War and all of that, right? The plan's already working, like you said. Solo Sikoa is already turning Roman Reigns babyface, and Roman Reigns ain't even there. When's the last? I don't remember us ever getting "We Want Roman" chants like in the last 4 years. Like, I don't remember that.
Well, because when Roman Reigns was last a babyface, no one liked him.
It was boo Roman Reigns. Like, I feel bad. Like, I remember those days, like when we used to just boo the hell out of this man.
Well, I remember Rocky Maivia. So it's kind of similar. It's very similar the way Rocky Maivia became The Rock to the way the big dog Roman Reigns became the tribal chief. But just like The Rock before him and guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, there's not that much of a change when you go to that heel character that works really well and then you become the babyface version of that heel character, because Roman's not coming back as the big dog to run the yard. He's coming back as the tribal chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns. Just you're allowed to cheer for him now. You're cheering for him now. And the same fans, and this is how fickle the wrestling business is and how good a character like Roman is and how important a reign like Roman had is. The same fans who were saying, "I'm sick of Roman Reigns and I win a championship and Cody's got it," are now the ones chanting, "We want Roman."
Yeah, you're definitely right on that, honestly. And like, I miss Roman Reigns too, because he's such a big freaking star and he's like, you know, he's usually the main course of this show. So yeah, like, I agree. I want Roman too. It's going to be exciting whenever he does come back. I want it to be a while because I want to miss him a little bit. And I want to feel like by the time he comes, it's like, all hell has burned loose. Like, you know that meme when you walk in with the pizza and like the whole place is burning on fire? Like, that's what it's going to feel like when Roman Reigns comes back to the Bloodline and whatever, everything's happening here on the show. But man, I'm still digging what they're doing here. I like that Nick Aldis threatened, you know, repercussions possibly happening at the draft, because I don't know if, because you know how they always change the rules, right? Like, I think last time they did the draft, the Bloodline was all drafted together. I don't know if that's what they were going to do again. Like, what's the situation? Are they going to be separated? I don't know. So I like the fact that the threat was put out there in the first place for all of this. But yeah, we are on the road to Roman Reigns as a babyface. And we got a super chat here from MD89, who's actually been a member of the DWO for 7 months. Says, "Let me get a 6-piece Tama Tonga with soy sauce, hashtag DWO. Not what I expected, but thank you so much, MD. I appreciate it. We got Dream Ninja 77, who says, "Great segment. KO is amazing. Tama Tonga looked like Haku's son. The heat was great. Roman instantly a face. Wild." Yeah, it checked off all of those boxes. And I like that they're not having Tama Tonga say much, Robin, that he's just going out there and looking, almost playing the same role that Solo Sikoa did.
Yep, exactly. That's what I was going to say. He's the new Solo Sikoa. And We have Jacob Fatu waiting in the wings, I believe, as part of this. Clearly, I mean, to me, that's it couldn't be more obvious. It's going to be that those three as the one faction of the bloodline, Roman and the Usos as the other faction of the bloodline, with The Rock and Sami Zayn as the wild cards to possibly be folded back into the bloodline on the various teams and the various factions here. But yeah, I mean, that it makes, I mean, they made Tama look like a crazy person, right? He's crazy. He's right in Kevin Owens' face as he's bleeding. He crashed his car into him. And they got Solo looking like a boss. I don't know, like, you know, what it was, if he seized the opportunity or whatnot. And now Roman was never, you know, like, he always was off TV for a little while here and there. And it made him feel like a big deal. But even more so now, it's going to make him feel like a big deal. We also know he's actually out filming a movie, right? Like, he's starring alongside, I think, Keanu Reeves and Seth Rogen and
that's Sandra big time, man.
Yeah, like, it's a real movie. It ain't like some, you know, one of these old WWE movies. I remember
it's not Marine 40.
Yeah, the Marine. Or I remember when I interviewed CM Punk in person in studio once, and I forget what he was playing. He actually. He gave me a super nice compliment, like, about the interview, but it was like some horror movie.
No, but I don't think that one was a WWE movie, was it? It was the girl on the something, right? Didn't it have the girl in the title?
Yeah, I think it did.
But I think that was still independent of WWE, I think. Yeah, it had to be. It had to be. Yeah, it had to be.
Those kind of wrestler spinoff. But didn't John Moxley have a WWE movie?
Honestly, I think after The Miz did The Marine, my brain just, like, stopped processing these movies. And then they did the Lucha, like, the Luchador one on Netflix with the little kid. Whatever. I forget all of this.
But nevertheless, Roman's in this. A legit movie.
Real movie.
Because I you know, there was a Roman Reigns. My son had left his ring and a bunch of action figures on the table on Sunday. And some people were over for my youngest son's birthday. Rohan, yeah, I sent you the
he's so
the
cute. Tweet,
you know, the DM with him saying LA night, yeah. And the wrestlers were out, and one of the women who was over was like, "Is this Jason Momoa about Roman Reigns?" And I was like, "No, that's your tribal chief, Roman Reigns." But he's got that sort of what's the appeal?
He's
word?
Got I mean, the ooh la la. He's yeah, got okay. The ooh la la. Looking for, like, let's be real. He could be, you know, if he continues his acting career, right? Like, with real movies, right? We're talking about real movies here. Like, down the line, like, he could be out there for, like, People's Sexiest Man of the Year. You just never know.
Can yeah. Happen. Okay. There you go. The ooh la la. That's how I'm going to describe it from now on. When I next time I need the words to bring up for Jade Cargill. Oh, ooh la la.
But Roman got the ooh la la.
Roman Reigns is a star now, and you see he's following that natural progression from The Rock to John Cena to now Roman Reigns to Hollywood, but he's still obviously a big part of the WWE, and they've developed these other characters who were along for the ride with the bloodline who are now, you know, getting the leading roles, and it's going to make it even bigger when Roman does eventually. I mean, just think about the note when you first hear that music. Hit again.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's just like automatic. It's like a jolt, right? Someone hits you when you go.
Yeah. Like in the doctor's office with the little brown, like, hammer thing. Like,
yes. The ones are going, oh my right God. Up. Yes. Yes. That's literally what that is. All right. We got Ice-T. Oh my gosh. Can't even say it anymore. So, says Rocky Maivia in 4 foot long blue tassels equal Roman Reigns saying suffering. I remember that. Solo the Snake Sokoa getting Dominic Mysterio heat now. I love it, man. Anytime I see anyone get heat like that, it's freaking exciting because I love shit like that in pro wrestling. Obviously, I mean, we're in a business where we're talking about good guys versus bad guys. It's great to see the bad guys really get booed.
It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of respect that what they're doing with Solo is working. It's resonating with the crowd. Same goes for Dominic in more of like a scoundrel way. In this case, it's more of Solo, like, you know, you bastard. That's the way they're going at him. But it shows that he's being taken seriously. Because I think when Solo first showed up, you had that. You're like, oh, who's this guy? You know, he's a tough guy. But then he didn't talk. He lost a bunch after the Cena match, and he just kind of felt like, all right, there's Solo the henchman. I think until The Rock name dropped him again in the one promo that sort of gave him a little bit of a boost, but he just felt like he was, you know, part of the ensemble that that was there. Now he feels like, you know, one of the leading men in a role, and he looks the part. I mean, the way he wore that suit works. I wouldn't have thought it. You wouldn't have told me. He's like, this is a guy who I'm only known for his thumb of doom. now he's got the, you know, he's got the svelte look going on, and he's you could see him developing a level of confidence in his mannerisms, in his presence on the mic and everything. And let me circle back to Paul Heyman, who's really helping to sell that too, because you get that, you feel the fear from Paul Heyman. You feel the uncertainty from Paul Heyman as the bloodline is in this period of being fractured.
I definitely agree with that. Like, just like the faces that he was making, you could feel his stress when Nick Aldis was telling him about the draft. Like, you could feel the stress of being Paul Heyman in that moment. We have Nothing But Wrestling here who says, what will the bloodline look like come SummerSlam? You know what I want? I want more of this. Like, I want it. I loved the fact that they showed that there was this car collision between Kevin Owens' car and Tama Tonga's car, and Paul Heyman, like, just not being able to handle these two. I want it to become like that times 10, where Solo Sikoa just makes this so freaking powerful that you're like, or they're like wrecking havoc on whatever brand they're on, that to the point where like no one can handle them. Like, that's sort of the vibe that I want to get for the story. And then I'm not, like, I know that we're doing the Bloodline Civil War at some point. I don't know where we're going to be at that point of the story at SummerSlam. Do you think Roman's going to be back by then?
Yes, I think Roman will absolutely be at SummerSlam. I'd be very surprised if he's not at SummerSlam, if not before then. I think you have, I'm looking at it more as like these tentpole moments, right? Because here are some things that I think we will see. We will see the Bloodline Civil War. We will see the Usos reunion. We will see Cody and Rock. We will see Roman and Rock. You know, like, so how we're getting there exactly, I'm not positive, but it is, you know, Bloodline and Wolfpack Bloodline that are definitely going to be feuding coming up in the coming weeks and months. And we are eventually getting those big moments, whether it's Jimmy and Jay hugging, or, you know, Cody and Rock finally having that one-on-one matchup, or that stare down between Roman and Rock finally coming to fruition, this time with Roman as the baby face in the equation. All those things are coming our way, including, I think, maybe the Civil War thing happened. The natural place for that is War Games, no? I mean, that
it definitely is the natural, yeah. And so I think people would be so freaking stoked for that.
I mean, it sets up perfectly for that style of match, and probably in the natural progression of how we get there, because it's not gonna be quick. This is gonna be
nothing in the Bloodline has been quick. Nothing in this whole story has ever been quick, but in a good way. All right, Nothing But Wrestling, thank you so much again for that. And let's go ahead and keep it going. We do got a couple of other things that we want to get into, and one of them is these new belts that we're getting, by the way, or that we just got. So Triple H presented the World Tag Team titles on Raw last week. Those were the ones we were just talking about earlier. And then today he presented the WWE Tag Team Chat titles. Great, cool. We kind of talked about those belts already, but I want to get into the freaking Fatal 4-Way match that we had to determine the new number one contender for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Again, the champions Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. We had a match between the Street Profits, New Catch Republic, Legado del Fantasma, and Authors of Pain.
You can say that way better than I can, by the way.
Oh, Legado del Fantasma. And I didn't even put all my ooh la la into it. I could have put more into it. But no, for reals, this match, this was freaking good. Like, I thought they were going to go in there and just like half-ass it. No, this match sort of reignited my interest in the men's tag team division. And I said this on Twitter, and I'm going to say this right now again. Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, to me, were the MVPs. But Tyler Bate in particular, this dude had his freaking working shoes on. In every little facet of this match, he had his fingerprints on it, and that stood out. This match was awesome.
Yeah, the New Catch Republic crushed it in that match. And that one spot in particular? Like, if you just like, you know, hey, check this out.
Which one? There's two of them.
I'm thinking of the double moonsault. Yes, that was very cool. Coming over the top at the same time. And yeah, I think it did a lot of things. It was just a very entertaining match. It legitimized the tag division. It put the Street Profits over to get set for Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, who I think that was the right decision too, to put the belts on them at WrestleMania in that ladder match. Theory needed something like that after what's gone on with him. And I'm a big fan of Grayson Waller. I like his social media antics. I like his character. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that was just an excellent all around televised tag team match.
The timing when you mentioned Montez and Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate doing that spot, it almost looked like a sprinkler turning on. It was just so so timed so perfectly. And the other spot was when Tyler Bate lifted up one of the members of AOP and did the spin. I mean, that was freaking cool too. So very, very fun match. They put a lot of effort into that, so it really stood out. All right, we got a super chat here from Ice-T, here, who says, I got your Rob Solo in the suit is slick. However, I would pop if he wore the suit and kept the bare feet. Now that is boss level tribal chief shit. Why did I visualize that?
I want to try that once and just see what people say. Yeah, no one will call me the tribal chief if I did that. I don't know what they would call me.
Can you imagine rolling into the office and you got this really nice Armani suit and they're like looking like, yeah, you get down and there's your bare feet.
All hammer-toed and whatnot.
Oh my God. I can't even with that. That's hilarious. Oh my God. All right, so... That image is never leaving my head now. That's it. It's like permanently embedded there. All right, we got one last thing to get into, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. And before we get to that, just a heads up to everybody. This is going to be another busy weekend here on the channel. I was about to say tomorrow we're doing the SmackDown post show. SmackDown post show here tonight. Tomorrow I'm here for a Collision and Rampage. So I will be talking about both of those shows tomorrow. And then I'm flying out on Sunday to St. Louis to cover AEW Dynasty. So keep an eye out for content from that here on the channel. And then Monday, we are doing a special podcast, myself and Reg, to talk about AEW Dynasty and whatever it is that comes out of that show. So there is lots going on. And then, of course, we start the slate of new shows for the week. Robin and I will be here next Friday to talk about night one of the WWE draft. So there is lots happening. So stay connected. Last thing we need to get to is actually very brief. It's Carlitos versus Santos Escobar. My only thought on this was a great win for Santos. And that's really all I had for this.
Yeah. Well, I'm echoing that. The one other thing I would mention that worth note, you talked about Triple H.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
QR code.
Yes.
I think that has people going because I showed my kids that I actually caught it and I showed it to them. They kept asking to see it again and again. And obviously, there's the nods to Bray Wyatt there. It clearly feels
here's
like
the image.
Yeah, an Uncle Howdy illusion or whatever you call it. I don't know. But the mystery of that is working really well. And I thought the placement of it was done really well in Triple H, you know, coming down to the ring, quick flash with the crow or whatever that was going on. So I do think they're doing that build well also. But yes, I echo your sentiments on the match itself. And Santos Escobar has had a nice run since he's gotten going in this version of himself.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all of that. Next week, we're going to be having the contract signing between Cody Rhodes and AJ. And then, of course, as I mentioned, night one of the draft. Oh, man, that is it for us here today, Robin. We did it. Second show in the books with you and I as a duo. I want to thank you so much, as always, for coming in, for hanging out to everybody here, to Robin, to everyone. Before we go, Robin, please let the people know where they can check you out on YouTube and social media and all of that.
Yeah, the links, thank you for putting them in below. You can go to my YouTube channel. It's been a big week for my YouTube channel, really blown up a lot this week. So check it out. And the link tree's down there, all the spinoffs. So please, go there and find me and follow me and check it out. And Denise, I do have to share with you, I am actually bare feet right now.
You know, what's crazy, Robin? And this is going to probably shock a lot of people. I cannot do a live stream without shoes on. I must always wear shoes when I'm live streaming. I don't know why.
What kind of shoes do you wear? Like, because, you know, in like COVID times, I've gotten used to, okay. Oh, man. You are Paris Hilton. Where's your little Tinkerbell dog?
That's not what you were expecting, is it? Well, see, here's the thing. The beauty of wearing shoes is that I don't have to match my outfits because no one's seen my feet. So no one knows that this doesn't match.
You wear those because they slide on? I mean, like, they're so elevated.
Robin, have you and I met in person ever?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, Robin, you don't know that I'm short AF.
Okay.
I'm 5'1". So I don't like that. I like any sort of height that I can get. So all of my shoes that I wear all have a big platform. And these are my biggest ones of all. So when I walk around the house, I feel like a goddess.
She got the strut going and everything. Are they comfortable at least?
Oh, they're great. Like, I should have bought more of these. No, they really are comfortable. Like, I'm going to buy some more, by the way. I'm going to look for some of these. But they're super comfortable. I freaked out my grandma. She saw me wear them to one of the holiday parties. And she was like, those are your shoes? And I'm like, yeah. She was like, I told her to try them on. And she was like trying to. And she was like holding on to me. She wouldn't try on the shoes. She was like, no, this is too much. She's like, I'm going to break an ankle doing this.
I guess they do kind of match your chair and Bret Hart shades and everything.
No, not really, because they're purple. They're purple with glitter.
Purple?
Yeah, they're purple.
They looked a little pink when you held them up. They looked like a different shade of pink to me.
Yes, I was like, no, I need some height, man. I don't like wearing like none of this like shorty shoes. Like, you'll never see me in flats. You'll never see me in sandals. Like, everything's got to have some sort of wedge on it.
Yeah, I see. I've been slides and what are the on running shoes? Because you can slide your feet into them. You know, being with the kids and on the go and you know, working out of this office here, it's just like, what's the easiest way for me to? But when I'm dressed up, it's crispy white sneakers. That's what I like.
How did we get here? What were we talking about?
I didn't have shoes on. That's
okay. That's what it was. How did we get here?
Iced tea. Ice tea and I used to get our cars washed at the same place, by the way.
Wait, what?
Iced tea.
Okay. Your car washed.
Not the super chatter. The rapper.
I was like, wait, how'd you find that out? I was like, that's interesting.
NCSI guy or whatever show he was on. He used to, I just would see him there all the time at the car wash spot on River Road in West New York, New Jersey.
All right. That's the more you know. Yeah. I love it. All right, Robin, did we get everything? I think we did. Thank you to everybody who tuned into the show once again. Please do not forget, if you have a chance, if you're enjoying the show, any of the podcasts, please head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and please leave a review. It really helps out a whole lot. I'm going to be having some announcements coming soon regarding this podcast and some of the other ones, all of the podcasts actually. So keep an eye out for that and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.